On a Sabbath, Jesus went to dine at the home of one of the leading Pharisees, and the people there were observing him carefully. He told a parable to those who had been invited, noticing how they were choosing the place of honor at the table. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not recline at table in the place of honor. A more distinguished guest than you may have been invited, and the host who invited both of you may approach you and say, "Give your place to this man," and then you would proceed with embarrassment to take the lowest place. Rather, when you are invited, go and take the lowest place, so that when the host comes to you, he may say, "My friend, move up to a higher position." Then you will enjoy the esteem of your companions at the table. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Then he said to the host who invited him, "When you hold a lunch or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your wealthy neighbors, in case they might invite you back and you have repayment. Rather, when you hold a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. Blessed indeed will you be because of their inability to repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." Amen. There's so much here. Before we get into the meat of this, I'd like to start with two little observations. It says that the Pharisees had invited Jesus, and the people there were observing him carefully. In Jesus' situation, they were observing him to try and catch him. Many people observe us. Probably rarely are you going to find somebody who's observing you, watching you very carefully to try and catch you about something. But there's very important people who are observing us, and those are our little ones, our children if you have them. They're observing how you live your faith. It might not seem like much in the moment, like, oh, I just did one thing and they watched that, but they're watching your constant behavior. If every day we go home and we're looking at our phone or we're getting on the computer or watching TV and we're not spending time with them, we're not telling them how much we love them, we're not asking them about their day, this makes an impact on them. If we're praying the rosary and we're not praying very well, we're very distracted, they see this. If we're not going to church regularly, they see this. If we're watching bad things on TV, they see this, and we are forming them about what's important. So it's very important that we examine our consciences every night. We look over the things we've done in this day and try to correct those behaviors, especially if you have children. Also, when it comes to corrections, Jesus makes something very interesting. He does a very interesting thing. The parable that Jesus says is about those who are invited by someone to a wedding banquet. But Jesus only gives this parable because he's invited to a special banquet and he's noticing that the people around him are doing something wrong. It says, noticing how they were choosing the places of honor at the table, Jesus told this parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not do this, etc., etc. So Jesus arrives. He sees a group of people doing something that he thinks is incorrect, and he corrects them all publicly when they're present. He does it in a loving manner. He doesn't say, "All of you people here." No, he tells a little bit of a story, but he gets the point across and he corrects them charitably and in a way that they can learn something from. And the beautiful part is he's not pulling any punches here. He even corrects the people who invited them. Later on, he says, then he said to the host who invited them, "When you hold a lunch or a dinner." So he corrects everybody. It's important. We have an obligation to help our brothers, and we should do it in the way that the gospel teaches us. First, go to them in private, and etc., and etc. But when there's a group of people, we should do the best we can in the most charitable way possible to help them. If you're a teacher, it's important that you educate your students. If you're a priest or a pastor, and you're noticing something in the parish that you don't like or that it's wrong, it's a charitable thing to do to help them. And what Jesus is really doing here is he's really giving them practical advice on how to avoid embarrassment. There just happens to be a much, much deeper theological and spiritual lesson. So Jesus is teaching us in the first half how to receive. He's talking to the guests who are invited. And then he's teaching the one who did the giving, he's teaching us how to give. So let's get into the meat of this. The first part, how to receive. This is very, very, very important in the spiritual life. Jesus says, "For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. This is critically important. God desires nothing more than our sanctity, than our holiness. And he gives grace according to our disposition. Padre Pio and many other saints would say that God will keep graces from you, keep blessings from you in your life, if they're going to lead you to pride or if they're not going to be good for your soul. The more humble you are, the more God will fill your grace, fill your soul with grace, fill your soul with blessings. That doesn't mean that you're going to be rich and wealthy and famous and all these things. But if you're consecrated to the Lord, if you've given your life over to God, he does not want you to suffer pride. Why? Because pride is the sin of Satan. Look at this. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled. Who exalted himself the greatest? The devil exalted himself, and that's why he has been humbled, and Our Lady crushes the head of the serpent. And again, the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Our Lady, the most humble of all, has been exalted to the highest level, and she truly does crush the head of the serpent. So how do we receive? How do we receive good things? So humility is the truth. It's the truth about who I am and the truth about who God is. And it's me seeing clearly this true relationship. The truth about me is that I am weak. I'm fallen. I sin. I have concupiscence. I have an inclination on a regular basis to think higher of myself than I really am, to think lower of people, to try to build myself up by tearing other people down, by thinking of myself more highly. So humility is that constant reminder of who I really am. And we can get this check, this mental and emotional check, whenever we do a couple of things. So the saints would recommend, anytime you see your brother or your neighbor fall, to say to yourself, but for the grace of God, there go I. You might not mean it in the moment, but when you say it, it kind of like pokes a little stick in your heart. But for the grace of God, there go I. You see somebody caught in adultery. You see somebody caught doing some sort of lustful act. You say, but for the grace of God, that man is me. Because in reality, if anybody has given into temptation or to sin, that's me. And that will help me to see, well, I'm not as good as I thought. I need to be more careful about my judgments of other people. I am not better than anybody. It doesn't hurt me to think of other people as better than me. Also, when something bad happens to me, I can say, what do I truly deserve? Because we get angry with God sometimes when bad things happen. If there's an illness, or if there's, God forbid, there's a death in your family, or something bad happens to you financially, you say, God, why did you let this happen? I deserve more than this. But we have to remember, what do I really deserve? I'm a sinner. I've turned my back on God so many times. I deserve, honestly, me personally, I deserve to go to hell. And yet God in his goodness has not only given me so many beautiful things with family, with friends, but he's given me a second chance at salvation. He's given me a second chance at life. What do I truly deserve is a good question to ask ourselves whenever we're being cheated. And likewise, there's things to consider whenever good things happen. When somebody says, man, you did a great job the other day. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Without the grace of God, I could do nothing. I'm not denying that I did a good job. I'm not being falsely humble and saying, oh, I'm not a good public speaker. Oh, I'm not a good musician. Oh, I'm not a good artist. No, acknowledge that you are a good artist. You are a good musician. You are a good speaker, but only by the grace of God. You are very handsome. Yeah, only by the grace of God. At any moment, my health could be taken from me. Life is fragile. So humility, again, it's not unnecessarily poo-pooing on yourself. It's recognizing who you are, your weaknesses, and your strengths as coming from God and your dependence upon him. Many saints, St. Augustine, St. Ignatius of Loyola would say that we have to pray as if everything depends on God and act as if it all depended on ourselves. Now, we are Marian. Everybody who watches this, I pray to God that you are Marian. You have a Marian soul, and it is more humble to go through Mary to Jesus. Many people will say, I don't need Mary. I will go directly to God. What I offer to God is good enough. That's a very proud spirit. Going to Mary is acknowledging that you need help. Anytime we pray, it's acknowledging that we need help. Sometimes people will say, I don't want to pray the rosary. I have no need for the rosary. That actually, if you think about it, is pride. Thinking that I'm good enough on my own is pride. That I don't need to pray. Jason Everett, I listened to his talks when I was in college. And one of the things that he said that really stood out to me, he was reflecting on how before he gives a talk, he said, it is pride to give a talk before spending an hour with the Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. For him to go give a talk without spending that time before Jesus would be an act of pride. It would be saying, I have what the people need. I have what's going to save them. That's not true whatsoever. It's very important that we pray every single day. And when you realize you're not just praying because you want something, you realize you're praying because you're weak. You're asking God to help save you from yourself. Praying the rosary every day will really help grow in humility because it's a dry prayer. I pray the rosary and I want to quit half the time, but then I remind myself, if I don't, I'm just going to get myself into trouble. I need the help of the Virgin Mary. I need the help of God. Again, this is going to help us grow in our humility because it will help us to see clearly. Whenever you're not happy, whenever you have a wound in your heart, always recall and ask yourself, where am I in my humility spectrum? What do I really deserve? Am I judging other people unfairly or unclearly? And I can assure you, once you look at things with the eyes of humility, not only will you have more grace and you'll get more spiritual graces and blessings, but also you will notice there'll be less trouble in your heart. Now, let us go on to the next lesson, how we should give. So St. Therese, a great doctor of the church, says everything that we should do out of great love. There's a saying that an act of love can cover a multitude of sins. Really, because I am a sinful person, I do give everything to Mary and ask her to present it to the Lord. But how do I give that to Mary? I give it to her with the best of my ability. When you're reading, you read in the present moment as a sign of your love for God. You're doing the best you can out of your love for God. Will it be better than if you did it out of self-love or try to like make yourself look good in front of others? Yeah, because you're doing it out of love for God, you might do it better and God will help you to do it better. But Jesus in this gospel is saying, blessed indeed will you be because of their inability to repay you. So although we should do everything out of great love, out of our love for God, and that does help us to do it better, we should be doing it out of love for God for the sake of God himself. This can be very difficult, purity of intention, but the more that you try it, the more blessed that God will make you. He will give you more grace to help you offer things with a pure heart. So again, let us strive for these two very important virtues, the virtue of humility, the mother of all the virtues, and the virtue of charity or love. It's an action. It's important. Let's say, for example, you suffer from anxiety. Sometimes I would have anxiousness. I'd have anxiety. And I ask myself, what do I do now, Lord? What do I do now? The answer is always the same. When it comes to action, you do love. What is love? It is a sacrifice of yourself to do the best you can in the present moment for love of God, whatever your action is. Again, so this is a little tip. So if you have anxiety, love in the present moment. Be here right now. Right now is all that exists. The greatest gift that you can give to God is loving right here, right now, because that's all you have to offer to the Lord. All right, God bless you. God love you. We'll see you next week.